particular to monitor Exxon's waste disposal operations. Any methods chosen to dispose of the cleanup waste will be meaningless unless these methods are strictly monitored by
particular to monitor Exxon's waste disposal operations. Any methods chosen to dispose of the cleanup wastes will be meaningless unless these methods are strictly monitored by DEC. We strongly urge that DEC hire the additional staff needed to satisfactorily monitor the waste disposal activities and require Exxon to pay for that staff up front if necessary. Second, we recommend that DEC not issue long-term approvals for any of the individual waste disposal operations currently proposed by Exxon. Until DEC has an opportunity to make a reasoned determination of the best overall methods for disposing of the large quantity of waste generated by the cleanup. There are serious questions about the propriety of Exxon's proposal to use several of the incinerators listed in his plan. Landfills for certain potentially hazardous solid waste and Alyeska's ballast water treatment system. DEC has indicated rightly that all disposal operations proposed by Exxon will be required to meet the applicable regulations. However, DEC's approval of these operations should not be based solely on whether the applicable regulations are satisfied, but on whether these operations as a whole will provide the most protection to the public and to the environment. For example, whether or not the Whittier incinerator can be repaired sufficiently to satisfy DEC's narrow air pollution regulations, DEC should not permit Exxon to use that incinerator if there are other incinerators Exxon could obtain whose air emissions will cause less harm to the public and to the environment. We understand that DEC submitted a long list of potential incinerators that are all well suited for burning oily waste, but we are concerned that Exxon rejected this list in favor of locally available units that are less costly. As Alaska Statute 46.04 provides DEC with substantial authority over proposed plans for disposing of waste generated by oil spill cleanups, DEC should use this authority to decide what overall set of disposal methods is best for the public and for the environment. Finally, in reviewing Exxon's proposed waste disposal plan, DEC should be sure to distinguish between those actions that must be taken immediately to ensure that the cleanup operations can proceed and those long-term waste disposal actions for which immediate approvals are not necessary. As to the latter, long-term actions, DEC should require that Exxon provide complete documentation on the environmental impacts of these actions. Specifically, Exxon should require full documentation of the chemical nature of all types of waste addressed in the waste disposal plan, including incinerator ash, degreasing agents, demulsifiers, and semi-solid oily waste generated by the oil-water separation process. The types and toxicity of air pollutants that will be emitted from these incinerators, including emissions from the incineration of waste containing polychlorinated materials, and whether the types of pollutants that will be discharged into the Alyeska ballast water treatment system are ones which the system is currently designed to treat. In short, Exxon should be required to thoroughly document the environmental impacts of any proposed waste disposal program long before those commitments are made. Thank you for the opportunity to address.
I'm Chris Benson. I'm representing Alaska Center for the Environment. And I want to commend Exxon for holding this meeting tonight. This is the first opportunity you've given to the public before any agencies have to address you on your waste plan. I did object in reading the plan to the phrase that said, and as you repeated tonight, that all interested parties have been involved in discussions in developing this plan, because that's absolutely not true. The public and environmental groups have not been involved with discussions with you until tonight. We encourage Exxon to take the opportunity to make a good faith effort to start immediately in a meaningful public participation aspect of your waste management plan. This meeting tonight, that's informational, announced only 2 days in advance, is a good start, but it's not good enough. And some suggestions I have are a task force or additional public workshops, public hearings, and encourage you that this an important aspect of this plan is a public participation in all of the decisions. We take issue with what the plan tries to drive home by saying not once but 6 times that you're concerned about permitting delays. To our knowledge, you have not applied for a permit yet, so I would say if anyone's delaying, it's you. We also take exception to your analysis of the state regulations. The Whittier incinerator does require a permit, contrary to your plan statements. The 3 hospital incinerators do require an air permit, contrary to your plan. I would say that those 3 incinerators need to be considered as one, so cumulatively they do exceed the threshold in the regulations. You also state that a PSD review is not needed. There's no evidence from your plan that's true. You haven't backed that up, and in fact, we are very concerned about air emissions, and in particular benzene, and suspect that it's actually likely a PSD review might be required. We're concerned about air toxics, particularly because the current regulatory scheme isn't sufficient to protect the public health. We don't have air toxics regulations and standards. However, the waste that you're proposing to burn may very likely produce toxics. Dangerous chemicals including dioxins, furans, PCBs, and acid gases. You have not demonstrated how you would prevent these emissions to be released into the air. There's very little known about burning these types of waste on this scale of a project. This is an unprecedented cleanup, and you must do pilot testing of any incinerators. You must prove to the agencies and to us that you can do a safe burn. It looks to us that your proposals for incinerators are based on economics and expediency. None of the burners that you're proposing to use are designed for the waste that you have. You've got a wood chips burner, a garbage burner that's put together with duct tape, and a hospital waste burner. All of these are primitive, and you've mentioned that you're modifying them, but we doubt whether you can bring them up to the standards that the public of Alaska wants to see. We want protection of our air. The plan mentions that the wood chips burner would have a baghouse retrofitted to it to protect or to filter out particulate emissions. Why haven't you proposed to also put a scrubber on? Your description of waste characterizations is sorely lacking, and we're wondering what proportion of your waste will be plastics, and what are the chemical compositions of these plastics? What will happen when they burn in the types of burners that you're proposing to use? We see no evidence that there will not be production of dangerous combustion byproducts. We would really like to see Exxon reconsider the entire waste plan, and particularly with regard to incineration. We believe there is existing incineration technology that could be workable once pilot tested with your specific waste stream, but you have not given evidence that you have exhausted all possibilities. Furthermore, the plan leaves out several important parts of waste management. These are management of sludges, siting of storage and disposal facilities, details on transportation to storage and disposal facilities, closure plans, post-closure plans, sampling plans, monitoring of air, soil, and water. All of these things must be addressed. We're concerned that some of the wastes you may be producing might be hazardous wastes. Incinerator ash, baghouse dust, the oil in combination with other wastes, all must be tested to ensure that if they are hazardous wastes, you will dispose of them properly, which is out of state. We recognize that you do need a degree of flexibility because you are unable to predict your waste volumes. However, the plan is far too sketchy in terms of storage sites outside of Prince William Sound. You need to develop these right away and also make those plans known to the public. Likewise, your scheme to transport waste to Anchorage and possibly Prudhoe Bay as well, we see as impractical and would like you to go back to the drawing board. We're concerned also that the Alyeska treatment plant will not be able to handle the liquid wastes. We expect that you would have tight emulsions that will need heat and electrostatic treatment to break. We object that you propose to measure oil and water with field instruments, and we think nothing short of laboratory analyses for total hydrocarbons would be acceptable. Again, we thank you for your opportunity, but we'd like to continue discussions. We have a lot of unanswered questions. We think there are a lot of details that need to be filled out in the waste plan.
Anyone else like to speak?
Jim? Good. James? Please state your name.
My name is James Winchester. I don't represent anybody but myself. I'm not much of a public speaker, so if you can bear with me here, I jotted down some notes beforehand. There is an overwhelming amount of information presented in this document. I can't present myself as an expert on burning anything except perhaps spruce wood. I've done that for a while. And I installed a septic tank once, so... But I will say this whole business with the oil spill has been educational for me. One thing I've learned that there are a lot of experts in the world, and they don't always agree. 600 or 800 years ago, the greatest experts in the world, the religious scholars, debated ad nauseum how many angels could dance on the head of a pin. I'm certain that the environmental discussion between the proponents and opponents of burning of oily waste and other refuse and wastewater treatment here in Valdez could go on for a long time, and to nobody's positive benefit. In the last analysis, it's really open to question and open to future generations whether burning waste and disposing of oily waste across the bay is a good thing or a bad thing. What I do know that it is fundamentally offensive to a large number of people in this community. It's offensive to me. I see no reason why a company the size of Exxon, with the financial and human resources available to you that you have, should be compelled to cobble together a facility to dispose of these wastes. We send hundreds of thousands of tons of product out of this port every day. Presumably there are facilities capable of dealing with this sort of material elsewhere. If there aren't, I think it's incumbent upon you folks to produce one. I feel that the people of Valdez, the people of Cordova, and the people of Prince William Sound have given their fair share of blood in this situation. It will, in my estimation, only cause more hurt, more trouble, and a good deal more anger if you proceed with this plan. I can see, in my limited knowledge, that there are serious problems with it. And there are certainly serious political problems attendant to it. I'm not a politically active person. I can't say that I am. But I think you boys ought to go home and work this through again. Thank you.
Anybody have any comments or questions to the DEC officials that are here? Well, you might, why don't you come on up to the microphone? And Larry, you may have to go up there and answer it. If you want to be on the radio. Oh, he's got a shotgun, Michael.
My name is Sally McAdoo, and the question I have is for the DEC. Several weeks ago, I called the city manager about some burning that was taking place at the Alyeska terminal. And city manager agreed with me that what was coming out from above the West Tank Farm was pretty bad. There was a lot of smoke. And so I called the DEC and I asked the girl at the desk what was happening over there and what were they burning. And my question tonight is, have you conducted burning at this point on some of the oily waste materials that have come in from out on the sound?
My understanding is that they are using the Alyeska incinerator.
And that's with your supervision?
Yes.
Okay.
Larry, maybe I just respond to that a little more, too. I was probably involved in the incidents that Mrs. McAdoo was referring to. In the very first few days of the spill, we brought two portable incinerators into the Anchorage area, or into the Valdez area, one from Canada and one from Anchorage, that are traditionally of the type that have been used in the past for oil spill response activities. We set up and conducted some test burns of those to see if they would meet the DEC standards or not. It became apparent that they wouldn't, and they've both been sent back home. That may well be the cause of the incidences that you saw.
My name is Charlie Parliament. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm a stockholder in Alaska Transformer Company. For over the past 3 years, we've been working with the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, in Washington because we didn't have an agent here in Alaska. Part of our business is the repair work on the power distribution transformers. And some of the problems that occurred with our company was that utilities companies were afraid in many instances to release the transformers because of PCB. So we went to work on obtaining a PCB incinerator and did obtain one. And we have approval with the EPA for burning PCB materials up to 500 parts per million. And we're working on further approvals. And it's taken 3 years and a tremendous amount of work and effort so far to get to where we are now with burning of waste oils. But if there's an opportunity to burn some waste oil, we'd certainly like to be in on it because we have stockholders and we are a small company and we have been working very hard and spent a tremendous amount of money in developing this system. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to ask a question or make a statement tonight? Do any of you gentlemen want to respond or anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're certainly willing to respond to any questions. You know, we didn't intend this to be really a debate or something. And we certainly appreciate the comments we received, and I'm sure that we in the DEC will be talking about them and deciding how we move forward from here.
Okay. Is there any practical reason other than financial considerations why this waste has to be brought in here at all?
With regards to bringing it into Valdez?
Yes, certainly. This is where I live. I'm obviously concerned about it.
Yeah, our intent is to establish the offshore incineration system and minimize the transport of waste back to the Valdez area. Until that system is operational, the waste need to go somewhere. We don't want, and we're not allowed to store them on the islands offshore.
Can you ship them?
We can ship them. We're setting up to do that now.
And then,
in which case they will be going to Anchorage for consolidation and containerization.
Then why do they have to come in here at all? I really don't understand. I'm not a fool. I just don't understand why the stuff has to come in here.
Okay. At this point, these are the only approved storage sites that we have, and they're the most secure storage sites. It's the most environmentally sound way of handling them. Certainly, the more shipment involved, the greater the chance of transportation accidents.
Certainly, but storage is one thing. Burning is another. And we have two problems here. Let's not get them confused. I don't understand why you guys have to burn anything here. Really, I don't. Why you have to use Alyeska's incinerator? It wasn't designed for this stuff. You shouldn't be burning rain gear or whatever else is going to go in that thing over there. I mean, burning the stuff anywhere is going to generate air pollution problems, given the state of the art of incineration equipment, as I understand it. But I fail to understand, and I think you guys ought to be able to demonstrate why you have to set up any incinerators here at all.
Okay, appreciate the comment. Thanks.
What landfill do you propose to use?
Planning to use a landfill in Arlington, Oregon, operated by Chemical Waste Management.
Any other questions? I guess I have one. When it comes to burning, do you take into consideration weather, like heat inversions and things like that, where you would not do burning under certain weather conditions because of the air is static, or does that do you take any of those atmospheric considerations into account?
I don't think we'd anticipate that to be a problem. Usually the inversions, I believe, occur in the wintertime, and most of this activity will be occurring between now and September, October, during the cleanup activities.
Why don't you come on up to
them? I'm Claire Richardson, Alaska Public Radio Network. I guess maybe the question is for Rick. Has Exxon applied for ocean dumping permit for solid waste or sewage?
We are working with the EPA on finding out what is required. The Coast Guard has been looking at it for us. In the last couple of years, there have been a lot of laws changed, adding many restrictions on ocean dumping. It used to be quite common. Right now, the only way that can easily be done is from a vessel in transit, which is still an option open to us with the Navy vessels. They're large enough source. As a contingency, we may be able to get out there and back. Obviously, that means a disruption to the cleanup effort, unless it can be done during a period when everybody's on the boat. Very, very tight scheduling. We're still looking at that, but apparently with the new federal and international laws, it's a very unlikely opportunity, but we haven't lost hope of
it. So you were looking at ocean dumping for vessels other than the USS Juno?
Right. Any vessel can dump while it's in transit, but you can't load onto a separate barge for the express purpose of dumping.
Okay, and I realize to keep on this subject, but they have all the numbers for other types of waste. Do you have a calculation of just how big this problem is going to be if the Coast Guard wants you to, in effect, maybe double the number of workers they'd like to see that? Are you talking about if you don't get the ocean dumping permit, you're not going to be able to handle it here?
No, the system that we're working with ADEC on, and they've been very, very helpful with us. We'll basically treat the sewage to the same quality that the city does, with the exception of a disinfectant. You may have that in the city system. You don't want to put that in the ocean. Other than that, it's basically the same quality, and it will handle all the currently projected people. I know there have been some more added in the last few days, which basically works up uses up some of our contingency. Many of those people will be further down the coast, and we'll have other alternatives in other cities down the coast. Or we can use more systems similar to this later if we need to, but currently it doesn't appear to be any problem.
Okay, yes. Matt, why don't you come on up to the microphone?
Yeah, I'm not speaking for the Alliance at this time. I have one question and one statement. My first question is something that I realized happening that I noticed when I first came to Valdez is a tremendous amount of I guess I might as well use the word junk left over from the pipeline days, abandoned camps, abandoned equipment left all over this valley, containers, everything. Can we, because if you look down the road here a little bit, this is going to stop. And there's construction, and we're going to have abandoned buildings all over this town with nothing to put in them. We're going to have junk all over the place. Do you have, I hate to use the word contingency plan because it's so liberally thrown around, but what kind of, what kind of assurances can we have that we're not going to have a big junk pile here? You know, I don't expect you to burn ATCO trailers, but they will be here. And what, you know, are we going to have abandoned buildings all over Valdez for the rest of our life?
Yeah, our plans are not to abandon equipment in place here. If there's any equipment that's being discarded, it'll be done in appropriate manner, such as in the landfill. Other equipment will hopefully be reclaimed and taken outside.
Well, what I mean is, like, because where I live in South Central Trailer Court, we had a nice, very peaceful little community out there with a nice, stable population base, and I couldn't throw a rock and hit a neighbor. I can't tell you what it's like out there now. And I read in the paper today, and I've seen the results that there are 60 repossessed mobile homes that are going to be moved into that trailer court. What are you going to do with those trailers when your people, are you just going to leave them there and pay the renter, or can I get my privacy back when this is over with?
We're not going to leave them there. We bought the trailers. We'll either take them back or sell them here if there's a market, but we will not leave them there.
Does that include the ATCO villages being erected about town?
Only two of the ATCO camps are being done by Exxon, the other three by VECO, and I haven't heard what the supposed disposition of those is.
Could Exxon oversee VECO on eliminating these buildings once they're... I'm serious. We don't need them. Things were pretty good here until we got suspended. The second point I'd like to make is in regards to your incinerators proposed off the sewage treatment plant. Is that, if I read the, is that where your test incineration is going to go on?
Initially we were looking at locating incinerators near the sewage treatment plant. That has been changed and that site's been moved out to the Dayville Road area.
So there will be no test incineration in the area?
Yeah, no incinerators.
Near any, because I was concerned whether there are residential areas.
Right. No incinerators near the sewage treatment plant or near residential areas.
Okay, thank you.
Matt, maybe I can answer one question. Doug Griffin from the city. We are in the process of writing a letter to Exxon asking that they prepare, we're calling it a demobilization plan or reclamation plan, whatever you want to call it, so that we can get some assurances from them about what they intend to do when they wind this oil spill response operation down. So we haven't really asked them, but we certainly intend to, within the week, submit a request to them that they work on something like that, start looking at a little bit further down the road about how they're going to deal with winding this operation down.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes.
Nancy, why don't you come on up back up to the podium.
We're all concerned about the ballast water treatment facility and the problems we have had there in the last decade. As I understand it, MVDS permit, the new one, was released, and that the court did not grant Alyeska the injunction it requested. I think we would be feeling much better if you are going to run waste through the ballast water treatment facility at Alyeska, that you stored those wastes in a tanker or some other facility until the upgrade to the ballast water treatment facility that is envisioned in the current NPDES permit has been completed. I think we'd all feel better that there would be a chance then, if you need to go that route, and that's not our preferable route, but if you do go that route, that you wait until the upgrades have been made to the Alyeska ballast water treatment facility. Thank you.
Anyone else?
My name is Bruce Good. I just have a question. I'm far from an expert on this, but I have been told that there are incinerators available that are far superior to what you propose in your plan. And I'm just wondering if these types of things were considered in your decision-making process, and if so, if they were considered, why were they not chosen?
Sure. We can briefly review that. We looked at a number of incinerators, probably 50. I mean, you know, we had calls from many, many vendors with incinerators. We made a lot of calls. We had our people back at Florham Park and their research and engineering arm helping us to canvas basically the world supply of available incinerators. And as I forgot, Jim mentioned, we got many experts in the world, and many of them tend to disagree on things. Some are better suited for some applications than others. Very few have been used in the application that we're looking at, and that is burning large quantities of oily sorbent material. You have a lot of hazardous waste incinerators. Those have been more traditionally used for burning large quantities of soil that's contaminated with oil that might have PCBs in it. That's a much different burning application than burning a material that's largely oil and polypropylene, which is the sorbent material. In looking at the hazardous waste type incinerators, although they would work for that, they would have to be severely derated and questionable whether they could begin to handle the volumes we need without having to bring in multiple units, and you can get into large operating problems trying to keep them going. The quote wood waste burner that we're using really is not as primitive technology as you might think. Again, we're not dealing with materials that are going to create dioxins and furans and some of the more significant air toxics that we're concerned with. And the baghouse device does an excellent job of removing particulates so that we'll get actually better air quality out of that than many of the other incinerators that you might be familiar with.
I think I'm more confused than I was before, but I have heard some conflicting...
It's a confusing subject.
Conflicting data on that, but thank you.
Sure. If you would come back up to the microphone just so we're on the radio and get it all recorded. Thank you.
Have you done any testing in the wood waste burner? How can you say that you don't know that air toxins aren't going to be emitted? Have you analyzed your waste stream? What evidence can you produce to back up your statement?
We have not analyzed the specific waste streams here. We're in the process of doing that. We do have experience with oil spills elsewhere and know the nature and the composition of the material. We'll be segregating waste, the types of plastics that are chlorinated plastics that might create some of the concerns that you have expressed.
So you're going to, the materials that are in a plastic bag that might have halogens, you're going to dump it out of the plastic bag before you dump it into the burner? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think misunderstanding. We're going to attempt to segregate the materials. Principally, the material that we have in the field that would create the concerns you have are materials out of polychlorinated vinyls, PVC. The main composition of that would be if we use rain suits made out of PVC. We're not currently using those, but if we do use those, then we'll undertake an effort to segregate those materials so that they don't end up in the incinerator.
Where will they go?
They would most likely go to the landfill in Oregon.
So how much of your waste stream do you expect to ship to Arlington?
I can't really give you a good handle on that now. We'll ship as much there as we need to make sure that our process goes forward. We would not intend to ship all of the waste stream there, provided the incinerator barge and other incinerators do work and meet the standards that we have to.
Next question, how can you assure waste segregation?
That is one of the quality control measures that we'll have to implement like many others.
Well, to date, with your burning to date, you have not been segregating waste. You've been dumping buckets of oil into the Whittier burner, which was supposed to be burning sorbent pads and booms.
Okay, I'm not aware of any buckets of oil that have been dumped into Whittier. I can't address that.
My point is that it's fine for you to tell me now you're going to segregate the waste, but what's critical is that that message gets passed to the field personnel, and also that there are enough state inspectors to monitor you, because your burning efforts to date don't back up what you're saying tonight. So we need evidence that the statement by you will be backed up with actions in the field by all of your personnel.
Yeah, I guess I can tell you we certainly intend to maintain quality control on our own, and I'm sure that the folks in the DEC can address the quality control that they would be pursuing.
Okay.
Does anybody from DEC want to make any kind of a statement or address what work you've done with Exxon to date on this? Do you have anything you'd like to say? No? Okay. Just wanted to make sure you guys didn't feel left out. anyone else? Paul? Okay. If you'd come up and state your name and for the record, please.
Yeah, my name's Paul McCollum. And I came kind of late, so I listened on the radio. I hope that this wasn't already asked, but I was interested if what information has been put out on the existing air quality testing that's been done. One of my biggest concerns is that in the earlier years when all the tests were done as far as air quality monitoring stations, and then the more recent round of testing that I believe was due to the refinery application. As a citizen, I've been concerned. I've never seen this data, and you know, I didn't come to Alaska to live in smog, and I would just like to know what the information is, especially before any kind of additional incinerator loads are you know, being considered. And I just wondered if anybody here tonight could either give me some information or knows, you know, where I could get a hold of this information.
Yeah, I do not have a catalog. I don't know if the DEC can address that offhand.
There is no recent air quality.
The work that was done for the refinery, the two labs that they had set up, is that data disappeared somewhere?
That was the last data that was collected. There's no active monitoring program. Alyeska has proposed one, but it's not underway yet.
Is data available from that earlier testing?
From the refinery study, yeah, that data should be available. We'd have to dig that out.
Right through DEC, I could get
that.
Yeah,
you bet.
Okay, thank you.
You can answer. I know at one time Alyeska was proposing to do some air monitoring. They were selecting some various sites around the Valdez area, and that never came off, obviously. Can you address what the status of that is? It's kind of late now, I suppose, to get any kind of baseline data, but can you address what happened with that effort?
Yeah, Alyeska has proposed some stations for around Valdez here in conjunction with the debate over the VOCs, but they are not in place or online yet. I would have to check the schedule for that. I think the work is to get underway this spring or summer.
Anyone else have any comments, statements, questions? We tried to organize this thing. Again, the role of the city was just to try to facilitate this so that we could get out information to the community and give you an opportunity to address some of the people that are putting together some of these proposals that are going to affect us. Would any of you gentlemen have anything more you'd like to add before it looks like we're getting close to adjournment? Yeah. Okay.
Questions tonight, are you going to come back again, and how are they going to be answered?
Okay.
Well, actually, I didn't hear a lot of questions. I heard a lot of statements and concerns expressed. I presume that those are directed to DEC as well as us. We'll be working with the DEC to secure the necessary permits that are required. And I guess I couldn't tell you at this point if there will be further public meetings or not.
Sure, Janice.
Does that mean you have no intention of addressing those concerns that were expressed in those statements? You're not going to respond to them. What assurance do we have that you're going to consider them?
Well, if you're looking for assurances, you know, maybe I should defer that to the DEC. We will certainly be going back and re-looking at them. As, again, Jim mentioned, there are many experts, and we may disagree with a number of those statements. A number of them were factually incorrect, but we're not really in a position to sit here and debate them, I don't think, point by point tonight. This was, as I understand, more of a voluntary public meeting on Excellence Park. We were requested to, and we're certainly glad to have the opportunity to do it. We're not in a position to hold multiple public hearings and still move forward with our cleanup plans as anticipated. So I can't promise you that we can come back weekly and do this.
We are hoping to have additional town meetings, not necessarily on this topic, but as we go through the summer, we are going to try to provide more opportunity for an exchange of information and concerns, and I think that's beneficial for everyone. So this was called pretty quickly, and again, I apologize that we didn't have more notice for it, but I think we got from obviously the turnout that those people that were concerned about the issue did come. Yes, Wendy, I think you're in the back. Why don't you come on up, if you would? I think that'd be better. I know, but you got to pay the price if you want to be a star, you know.
I'm an expert in my own mind. My name is Wendy Biedema. I live in this community. Who made the decision that the incinerators were not adequate?
I'm sorry?
The incinerators that you said that you sent back, that you were utilizing?
We had discussed that with the DEC people, and they'd indicated it didn't look to them like those incinerators were permittable.
Why did you not know that in advance?
Because we have not used those incinerators before. As mentioned, the one came from Canada. It's been the standard incinerator used in oil spill response there. The other one was from Anchorage, and we've not had any prior experience with it.
Is there any member from EPA here tonight?
Here tonight? I don't know.
Yes.
I heard you say earlier this evening that DEC and EPA approved of this plan.
I'm sorry?
Did you say that you had the approval of those two monitoring agencies? No.
No. The plan has been submitted to the DEC, and we're still waiting for comments on that.
I guess, can DEC and EPA respond to a timeline as to when you plan on issuing permits or waivers?
Thanks. Hey, everybody. You would state your name.
I'm Greg Kellogg with EPA here in Valdez. The Exxon scoping plan is just that. It's a scoping plan, and DEC and EPA, along with the Coast Guard and along with a lot of other federal agencies, are looking at it right now very closely and very hard. We're also working with Exxon in terms of trying to advise them as far in advance as we can what the permit requirements are. We've spent a fair amount of time doing that already, and we'll continue doing that. As the applications come in, the responses will come back. To my knowledge, and I can't speak to the air side of it because that's a DEC function, but to my knowledge, from a wastewater treatment standpoint, I don't think that we have any permits yet or permit applications yet.
Why not?
I'll let Exxon answer that.
We've really been working on the design of this vessel. We don't need an EPA permit for the current system we're using unloading at the city dock. That's pre-approved facilities. We've had to order special equipment, special barges, and work with the Coast Guard and the DEC to get the process correct and acceptable prior to submitting a plan. We certainly didn't want to submit something that was going to be rejected out of hand. It just delays the entire process. So we've been working the problem, working together. Hopefully we're within a couple of days of actually submitting for application. We're all working under conditions that are a little different than we're used to. We're submitting handwritten drawings and things that you know, we don't have full blueprints here. But there's been excellent cooperation with the agencies, and I think we're really getting the best solution. And those
permits will be submitted shortly, we hope.
I sense everybody's ill at ease about the notion of waivers and or speeded up application periods. I don't think you should take that to mean that we're going to be wholesale giving waivers, and I'll even pretend to speak for DEC in this instance. We've talked about this long and hard, and to the maximum extent possible that environmental regulations can be protected, we're going to be there to assure that that occurs, and Exxon knows that, and that comes as no surprise. That's why we're so anxious to see the applications. You may see applications move faster than they normally would in the normal process. The spill necessitates that, logic dictates that, so we'll be working as fast as we can, but believe me, there is no plan, no intent, no deals made to essentially give out waivers.
Thank you for that comment. I think that helped clarify a couple of the comments that were raised earlier. Anyone else would like to speak, address? Okay, sure.
I'd like to make a suggestion that I may catch help from some of my colleagues back in the office. I know in a forum like this, a lot of times people will leave and feel like a lot of questions were unanswered, and quite truthfully, a lot of these issues are so complex that those of us at the table can't answer them all. I would like you to suggest that people who have questions, particularly information-type questions, what happened, what was the procedure, submit them to us like at the guards desk, and I'll work with our media relations group to put together some responses so that we can get the answers back. It's very difficult to answer on the spot answers to work that other people have been doing, or they're highly complex, but it's certainly in everybody's interest to get the information out. Also, many of the questions are variations of the same question, and by doing a little sorting, they can get the nature of the issue and take a little time with some of our technical experts without distracting them from the projects they're trying to do, and put together some information that they'd be glad to publish and issue back to make available for people.